Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock Jr. here in the Money and Business Hour. We are once again on air teaching you how to become financially independent and making the decisions to, you know, do the right thing so you can become confident and one day enjoy money rather than worry about money. And that's what we do by educating each week. You know, there's two things you always need to be working on, and we talk about that. One is raising your income, being more valuable to whatever way you're earning money. If you're working for someone, you become more educated and more valuable to where they're scared you're going to leave. And then if you're self-employed, you provide more value for your customer base and clients, and, you know, to where they'll never leave you and refer you. And then you take all of that and create a gap, and you create that gap, which is the income minus the outgo. That gap is where we talk about investing that. If you're just tuning in right now, we've been working all the way through from the defense, and the defense is, you know, four basic things: a budget, an emergency fund, buying the right insurance, and removing all bad debt. That's debt that is unaffordable and also that's tied to something that goes down in value. And then we moved into the offense. And if you're just tuning in, you can check out the podcast at RoyMatlockJr.com, where we talk about the different choices of places you can put your money, from, you know, stocks, bonds, real estate. We talked about annuities in the last show. We talked about mutual funds, managed accounts, real estate investment trusts, all those kind of things. So where we're at now, we're going to continue going into in detail the different investment choices. But I want to remind you of some of the reasons why it's so important that you make sure that your money's working for you. So let me give you an example right now. I run into people. I meet with people on a weekly basis still. And I cannot tell you how many times I run into people where they have their retirement plans sitting at the bank and it's getting less than 1%, or they've got $300,000 sitting in a money market getting, you know, a tenth of a percent. And I'm thinking to myself, man, they just don't understand the rule of 72. They don't understand how this is affecting them. So let me give you a little rule. The rule of 72 says this: if you take any interest rate and divide it into the number 72, it tells you how long it takes your money to double. So, you know, if you get 3%, it takes 24 years for your money to double. If you get 10%, it takes 7 years to double. If you get 12%, it takes 6 years. If you got 18%, you say, well, who gets 18? Well, credit cards charge you 18. So if you owe money on a credit card, you're getting 18% on your money by paying it off. And that means your money doubles every 4 years. A mortgage is around 3%. You know, if you're looking at it, you say, well, if I pay my mortgage off, I'm getting a 3% return. That means that I basically effectively get my money doubling every 24 years. So then the question is, how do I go out and get a better rate of return? And then once I understand that, then I'm going to sit there and say, wow, you know, 9-10% is doable over the long term. So at that point, you start thinking, now, why would I be paying off my lowest interest rate in the history of the world mortgage early? Because that's just not smart, okay? Because if you're borrowing at 3 and you can put it in something that has historically averaged 10 forever, then why would you do that? Yet I hear people making those mistakes as well. That's paying off good debt, which we don't want to pay off good debt. We want to always remain in debt with good debt. All right. So I'm going to give you an example. You know, I spoke with a guy last night, and he said, you know, I got a $2 million house and I got $1 million mortgage on it. And he said, I got a 10-year ARM at 3%. So what that means is that the mortgage is locked in for 10 years at 3%, and it's interest only. So that means $1 million mortgage is costing $2,500 a month, and you're getting to live in the house, and the house hopefully is appreciating. That's good debt. So why would we pay that off? All right. The reason we would pay it off is because we don't understand where to take our money and do something else with it. to where we can get more than that. And so when we're sitting at the bank or you're paying your mortgage off or you're doing those kind of things, the only reason is because you do not understand where to go in order to get a better rate of return. So let me give you another example. If you have a money market account right now and you apply the rule of 72, 0.1% into 72, that takes 700 years for your money to double. How about that? I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, you got 10 generations of people before your $1,000 grows to $2,000. So what we want to do is we want to start getting educated, but I wanted to just explain it to you. If you're sitting there on a 3% mortgage, or you're sitting there on a with money sitting out just other than just liquid cash for emergencies, okay, in these low interest places, you are getting hurt, you're getting killed. And so the other thing I run into, I do all these appointments, and I see people that come in and they've got mortgages right now that they're paying 4 or 5% on when if you haven't refinanced in the last year, okay, then you're missing out. Okay. It's just free money. That's all. And so what I want to do, I remember growing up as a kid, my dad, he was always a saver. You know, he never had any money. And then he started his own business. First one in our family, changed the family tree. And he used to just be a stickler about don't waste your money. Don't waste it. All right. And how do you waste your money? He said, well, and so I would come as a kid. I'll never forget this. I went into my bedroom one time. I would leave the lights on in the bedroom and the bathroom and all that kind of stuff. I just never would turn the lights off. And I came in one day and I hit the light switch and nothing worked. And my dad had gone in there and he took the light bulbs out of the ceiling lights and the bathroom lights and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, you're not going to go waste my money, okay, on electricity. You need to understand that electricity, when you're not using it, costs money. All right. And I'll never forget to this day, you know, I walk out of my place and I can't leave the lights on anymore. But that was something I learned as a kid. And so when you're investing your money in low rates of return, when you're paying off what I consider to be, I tell people it's almost like free money, okay, on your mortgage, good debt, you're paying it off. What you're doing is you're wasting money. Now, what I have a goal of doing is always having what we call do nothing, easy money, to where it just keeps rolling in, and I get that through investing. All right. So I hope you're enjoying the show. Hey, visit RoyMatlockJr.com and download our podcast. We got all kinds of cool things. We got our free 12-week course on money, 45 minutes on Zoom. We'll send to you. We'll be right back. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Stick with us. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here. And hey, do you have anyone helping you with your money? If you're listening right now, do you think if you had a financial advisor like me talking to you, walking you through the steps, that you would do better? Well, I have trained so many guys. You know, I got a team of people right now that if you call us, we'll put you with someone that has been trained by me, as well as if you've ever considered doing something to where you wanted to make a career change and get trained by me, then you should visit RoyMatlockJr.com. And when you get there, there's a couple of places you can do. It says join the team. You can do that if you're interested in finding out what it would be to get a license, which we pay for, by the way, to teach you how to do that. And then secondly, if you'd like one of our advisors to sit with you and help you, you can do that. And it'll say just, find an advisor. And then, or you can make a phone call, 615-843-2999. When we came out of the break, our first segment, we talked about getting your money working for you. Stop wasting money. And there's so many things. I always tell people, you know, if you really want to start moving forward, get a bank draft going on your checking account. And so what happens is you set up back in 1985, I set up my first mutual fund. It's $50 a month where they pulled it out of my checking account. And they've been pulling it out, you know, ever since that time. Of course, I raised it over time. But I always tell people that's when everything changed, because I started saving money in things that had returns on them. And if you look at any of those mountain charts, go back to 1985 and say, you know, if I'd have been putting in money into one of those mutual funds all that time since 1985, really doesn't matter how much money you put into it, you end up having something. And so what happens is I start looking and I say, now, why are you wasting money? Why wouldn't you have something set up to where you could instantly just pull your phone out and tap it? So what I have right now on my phone is, you know, the ability to spend money anywhere. All I got to do is log into the internet and I can buy Amazon, you know, anything I want. But I also have a app on my phone to where I can just tap the button, log into my account, and I say, hey, you know, I'm not going to eat out tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to save that money, probably save me $50. So I'm just going to go in right now, open up my phone and say, I'm going to save it. And I pull it up, and in about 45 seconds, I hit invest 50 and it goes in. And now that 50 that I invest, guess what happens? It is now in an investment that over a long period of time won't be a 50 anymore. It'll be a 100 and a 200 and so on because of compound interest. So now that we understand all that, we're not going to waste money. We're going to free money up to save. You're going to go in there, and today you're going to go through and say, all right, what are some things I can do without? And then if you have a place, then you set up a mutual fund tied to your account, okay? I mean, everybody can free up money. All right, so we do that. Then what we do is we make a decision to put our money in things that grow. Now, how do we go about doing that? I talked in the last show about you can put it into stocks, you can put it into bonds, or you can go get professional money managers. And what they do is they pick the stocks and bonds for you. And that's called a mutual fund or a managed account. You can also put it into annuities. Annuities go from the very conservative that is better than the bank type annuities, fixed indexed annuities. You can also go into what's called variable annuities where it's in the market and so on. The benefit of an annuity is two things. One, it gives you the ability to get tax-deferred growth. All right, and then the second one is you can get lifetime incomes on it. Now, people always say that, well, yeah, but I've heard bad things about annuities. Well, what annuities are insurance, is insurance that you purchase on your investments. All right, an insurance company says, look, here's what we'll do. We'll pay 5% for the rest of your life, even if the account goes to zero. Well, if the market goes down and the account goes to zero and you're still drawing your 5% until you and your spouse die, then that was the insurance you paid for. Well, I tell people, you know, the annuity insurance, it's more expensive than if you were to just put it in a regular mutual fund, but it's sure not as expensive as the FDIC is when they're giving you 1.1 or 0.2%. So there's different things you can do. So, but either way, we go in and we start saying, look, we're going to get our money working for us. We're going to invest our money. We're going to do that kind of stuff. And so once we do that, we start moving in, and I'm going to go down the side of the mutual fund managed account type side. And this would include what we call index funds. Let me walk you through. You got index funds. Those are just the overall index that is, if you buy the S&P 500 index, it's not managed. It's very low cost. And the reason you would buy that, you say, hey, if I just throw it in there and forget about it, okay, it's averaged 10% forever. Okay. I saw a chart just recently that showed a $10,000 investment back in 1976 in an index fund grew to over $1 million. Just a one-time $10,000 investment, and that was like the beginning of the index funds. So there's, you know, they're out there. The benefit of the index funds is they're cheap. They're not professionally managed. But then you can go in, and I saw another chart where a professionally managed mutual fund where they pick and choose, all right, the stocks. In other words, they don't put it across all of them. They put it across $1 million. I saw one fund that went to $2.8 million. Okay, on that same $10,000. So if you get someone that is professionally managing your money, there's a good possibility that they can beat the market, but a lot of them don't. So if you're looking, you always want to know, are they actually better? All right. And then what we do is we start figuring out, do we want to have a brokerage account? That's where you go in and you pay a fee every time you invest. If you invest again, you pay a fee, all that kind of stuff. But if you pay the fee and you never move it out of that fund family, it becomes very inexpensive, one of the cheapest ways to have a professionally managed account. Or you go with what we call a managed portfolio. It's called a fiduciary. And keep in mind, fiduciary does not mean cheaper. What fiduciary means is that it's a flat rate no matter where you put it. So there's no incentive for any kind of person that's in the investment business to push you in one direction versus the other. And so, but don't think it's cheaper. It's just a different way. A lot of times you'll pay 1% or something like that plus the underlying fees. So it's actually more expensive than if you put it in a brokerage account and keep it, but you have more flexibility. So you can move it from one to the other and, you know, and have it across 10 different fund families or ETFs or stocks, whatever you want to do on that. But at the end of the day, it's just investment account. And then you have to choose those investment accounts. Do you want something more aggressive? All right. Because you have a longer time horizon, or maybe your risk tolerance is there. And that would be maybe an all stock type investment where you're putting it into companies. All right. And those ETFs you could buy in the managed account, or you buy a stock mutual fund, whatever it may be. And they are made up of maybe three or four different types of them. You've got your growth and income type investments. They buy larger companies that pay dividends. They tend to be the more conservative among the stocks. They would own Exxon and Procter & Gamble and stuff like that. Then you got the growth funds. They're going to put your money into the Googles of the world, the Starbucks. So the idea of the stock's going to go up and stuff like that. You can diversify even more with international funds. That's outside the U.S. If we have a global fund, they're going to invest not only in the U.S., but outside the U.S., whereas an international fund will not invest in the U.S. And why do you do that? Well, there's great companies out there. You know them, Mercedes, and what about Johnson & Johnson and BP Oil and all these different ones, Nintendo. So that would be international. So we want to be a part of that. Plus, a lot of the U.S. companies are doing business all over the world. So we know the power of outside, you know, the United States. Then we have the aggressive growth. Those are the Googles of the bar, the small caps. So when you go in, you start developing a risk tolerance, all right? And we're going to talk about risk tolerance versus risk capacity. And in doing that, what's going to happen is you're going to learn about, you know, where you are in the stream of things. Then we've got balance funds. They're going to have some bonds in it. When we come back out of the break, we'll talk about all the different bonds and what is a bond, how does it work, all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is we learn how investments work. Then once we get through learning that, then we got to get the actual asset allocation fixed. And then, hey, we're doing great. How about that? And then we have our FIN number. We'll talk about that. That's the amount of money you need in order to retire. So I'm going to talk about that when we come back in. And if you visit RoyMatlockJr.com, would you like to know your financial independence number? We're going to provide it for you. Go to RoyMatlockJr.com. It'll be on there. Find out what my FIN is and visit that. We'll be right back after a short break. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. talking money. And today's show, we've been talking about the different investment, you know, why you got to get your money working for you. And I would encourage you to go to RoyMatlockJr.com. We just added this. It's called Know Your FIN Number, and that's your financial independence number. Let me give you an example of a FIN number. So let's say that you're 45 years old. Now, I'm just throwing some numbers out. There's all kinds. I mean, you'll understand this. But the FIN number is calculated. It's a number that will give you an idea if you get specific rates of return, if you go into and add inflation in there, and we put this all together, and then one you can look at it and you say, I've saved this much money, and if I do this and do this, this is what's going to happen. So let's say that your goal today was, you said, you know, if I had 50 grand a year coming in, I could quit right now, probably have Social Security, all right, probably get another, you know, 30 or 40 grand a year in Social Security, I would be happy. I could quit, you know, I could do what I want to do. I want 50 grand a year. Well, the rule of thumb, so let's say you're 45 years old and you're saying, I got 20 years out there. I want to have 50 grand. And the rule of thumb I tell people is you need 20 times your income. So now that means you should have $1 million right now. If you had $1 million at 5% interest, you could pull 50 grand a year. And if you were getting 7 or 8, you could have a little inflation bump and you could live that way, keep your lifestyle the same and never run out of money. That's just kind of a rule of thumb. All right. Now, but you're not there yet. You've got $100,000 saved right now, and you've learned about investing. And so we said, well, first off, $1 million today in 20 years is going to be inflation. It's going to be about $2 million, doubles about every 20 years. So now we need $2 million, and because we're going to need $100,000 a year back when that happens. And you say, well, I got $100,000 saved right now. Well, if I can get 9% on it, that $100,000 is going to be $660,000. So I'm missing $1,332,000. That's what I'm missing right now to be able to do it, to be able to retire like that. So you say, well, what's the FIN number? The FIN number is $1,902 a month. How about that? And you just had the mathematical equation. You say, well, $1,902 a month, my company is going to match a percentage. I need to do a Roth IRA on top of that. But long and short, I need to get $1,902 a month put into my a retirement account. And if I do that, guess what? I'm rocking, all right? And I can wake up and say, I know my FIN number, and all you got to do is just work through that, and you're off to the races. And that's where getting the proper asset allocation, having your number, I call it the goal. What's the goal? $50,000 a year in today's dollars. The plan is I need to the plan is to get there and save this money. I've got this much. I'm going to invest it at this. I'm going to save this. This is my number. It's 1902. And then my schedule is 20 years from now. I'm calling it a day. All right. And so that's how we go up the GPS. We call it, you have a goal, a plan, a schedule, and then you have a FIN number. That's your financial independence number that's going to allow you to quit and not worry about money, not worry about outliving it, not worry about any of that stuff. All right. And we put it in there. Then we go in, we choose our investments to reach our goals. Our assumption is, in this case, 9%. So we're going to go in and say, well, if we could get 9, this is what would happen. Okay. If we invest that money over a period of 20 years, take the money we've got, it gets 9, this is what's going to happen. Then we start choosing our spectrum of investing. And so we talked about the growth side and the stock side. And keep in mind, everybody is different, all right? Everybody's different. And so what I try to do is connect people in a way that their risk tolerance, they're comfortable with it, but their capacity, and that's the amount of money, the amount of risk they have to take to reach their goals. Let me give an example. If we took this 1902 at 9% and we said, well, you're only getting 8%, well, guess what's going to happen? That number's going to go way up, okay, over a 20-year period. If we turn around and say, I'm only getting 3%, we may come back and say at 3%, you need to save $7,000 a month. You're like, it's impossible. So your capacity of risk, hey, I understand that you'd love to be able to never lose money, never have volatility, but it's just not going to work, okay, if you are putting your money at such a low rate of return that you can do it. So what happens is you start figuring out, you know, what is my tolerance? What is my capacity? We'll talk more about that. And so we got stocks, which are more longer-term growth. We got bonds, which are tending to be, more conservative. There's different types of bonds. You've heard of junk bonds or high-yield bonds. Those are just bonds that are companies that have to pay higher interest rates, and mutual funds go buy those. They say, hey, this company's really financially more stable than they appear in the rate. We're getting a high rate of return. We're going to get our money back. We're actually buying the bond at a discount. They research bonds. They do that. They have corporate bonds, which are investment-grade bonds, big companies issued. And the reason about bond is you're saying, I'm comparing it to the bank, and the FDIC is the strongest insurance, but I feel pretty comfortable that Exxon's going to be around forever, all right? And so I'm going to buy that, or I might buy the city bonds, which are municipal tax-free bonds. I might even buy U.S. government securities, which is still paying better than the bank. And so anyway, so we go in, or we buy some balanced fund, which will have some stocks and bonds and stuff like that. And a lot of things now, because we've got interest rates at just such an all-time low right now. I mean, it's just it's crazy how low rates are. So we're maybe replacing some of bonds with possibly, if you're at or near retirement, maybe consider an annuity, even something like a fixed indexed annuity. Am I recommending anything right now? No, I'm not recommending things. What I'm saying is we have to look at our choices. When we have bonds and interest rates at such a low rate, it's great for borrowers, but it's not very good for fixed income savers. All right. And so we start looking through all that, and then we come up and we start saying, well, all right, we're going to do that. And then what my experience has been is that what you need to be thinking about is we're gonna put it in there. We're going to allocate it correctly. We're going to say, you know what, I got 70% of my money's going in the stock market across large company stocks. I'm going to put 30% into something that's more conservative because I'm near retirement or I'm getting ready to retire. I'm going to take part of that. I'm going to put it in bonds. I'm going to put part of it in some type of annuity. So here we go. I'm retired. I might turn around and say I'm going to take half of my money in the market. The other half of my money I'm sticking into an annuity, okay, or bonds or whatever it is. And we go through and we start doing all those kind of things. And then one day we wake up and we say, wow, this is pretty chill. I like this, okay? I'm going to continue to work toward, you know, getting control, and I'm going to quit worrying about timing the market. I don't care. I'm just going to put it in there. All right. You know, one of the things that I do with people for the most part, you know, if you come to me and you say, hey, I got all this money in cash, more than likely I'm going to do something called dollar cost average you into the market. What that means is the word dollar cost averaging means we're going to take, let's say you got $100,000 and it's sitting in the bank and you're scared to death of the stock market. I mean, you're just like, man, I don't know, you know, just be by luck that as soon as I put my money in, the market's going to crash. All right. So what if you were in the mindset that you hoped it went down? That would be pretty cool, right? I hope the market goes down. The reason you hope it would go down is you brought that $100,000 in, and then what happened is that $100,000, you decided you're going to put in $10,000 a month automatically every month until the $100,000's invested. So now every time the market goes down, guess what happens? You're buying at a discount. And then if it just comes right back up to where it was, you dollar cost average in and you bought it at a discount to the market. So the market's the same as it started at the beginning. 10 months later, it's the same, and it was down the whole time, and you're buying shares at a discount. So that's a way that we teach people about, you know, moving into the market and stuff like that, dollar cost averaging. You're doing that with your 401k because it's being invested every month. And so things like that. So we believe time is the key, not timing. So with that, here's what we're going to do. We got one more segment, and we are going to walk you through risk tolerance, all that kind of stuff. I would encourage you, go to roymatlockjr.com. If you like the show today, go to roymatlockjr.com, or you can go and Google Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour and get our podcast. Start getting educated. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, Roy Matlock Jr., and again, we're talking about investing for the long, you know, understanding investments. You know, I believe this, that finding a good financial advisor that educates you allows you to have an educated conversation with your financial advisor. It's no different than, you know, if I go to the doctor, I do a little research on my own. I would rather the doctor talk to me and explain why he's doing things the way he's doing it, or she is. In other words, I want to have the more educated I am, the more confident I am in being able to walk out of that room and say, all right, I know what I'm doing. And so one of the ways you can get very educated, and this is a free course that if you go to roymatlockjr.com, it's our 12-part money series. Now get this, it's 12 45-minute to an hour Zoom calls that are delivered to you by email. I know places, people are paying $100, or more to get information that's not even close to the information that we've put out. I put together a team of people, all of which have had 20 plus years experience to help me put together this class. And that class is going to teach you everything. I mean, it's going to be, I'm telling you, one of the greatest educators, and it's free. So go to RoyMatlockJr.com, look for the 12-part series on money. We also have our family financial workshop. So we have all these things that allow you to really get educated. So one of the things that I had is this dollar cost averaging. And when I was in the break, you know, I had someone say to me, you know, can you really get into more detail about that? What does that mean? So here's what happens. So if you buy into the market, I'm going to give you kind of an example of dollar cost averaging. It'll make good sense. So let's say that you systematically invested, all right, and investor A goes in and they buy $100 a month in a rising market, okay? So what they do is every month the market's going up, and it goes from $10 to $18, all right? You got another investor who's putting $100 a month in a fluctuating market, which is more what it is, and the market goes from $10 to $6 and back to $10. You would think that the person that saw the market go straight up would end up making more money, but the reality of it is it's not that way. What happens is dollar cost averaging allowed the second investor to be purchasing shares at a low price. And so as a result, even though the shares ended up looking as if, hey, you look, it started at 10 and now it's at 10 again, all of those shares were being purchased at 7, 8, 6, whatever it may be. And as a result of it, they were able to get a lower average cost per share than the market. So if we have declining markets, you know, people right now, they tell me, say, I don't know. I mean, you know, the stock market's all-time high. What are we going to do? Well, fine. If you really feel that way and you really think that way, then why don't we just dollar cost average money into it? All right. And then that way you're hoping it goes down. So what I'll typically do when I meet with people is I work to find out their risk tolerance. And if someone shows up in my office and they say, I've got $350,000 sitting in the bank, then they've told me pretty much everything I need to know about their risk tolerance. They've got their money sitting in the bank. What does that tell me? They are very risk averse, right? Either they're risk averse or they are sitting in a situation where they just don't understand. All right. And so then my first goal is anytime I meet with somebody is to find out how educated they are. That's why I love for people to visit our website and listen to the podcast. I had a person come in my office one day and they said, you know, I'm on podcast number 26. I've listened to every one of them. And carrying on a conversation with this person was like great because, I mean, we didn't have to talk a lot about explaining things. What we were able to do is just get down to, hey, let's see what you have, let's see what you owe, and let's get you a plan and get your FIN number set up. And, I mean, it was great. So if you want to really get educated, think about this, guys. I have 80 podcasts. You can start at number one. You can find them anywhere. If you Roy Matlock Jr., Money and Business Hour podcast, you can go to the website, RoyMatlockJr.com. What if you decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to one of these podcasts every week, and I'm going to spend 80 hours over the next year or so, and I'm driving down the road anyway, and I'm going to learn. How about that? Do you think it would have an impact on your long-term outcome? I'm telling you guys, the stuff I learned back in the 80s and early 90s has changed my life. It's changed my family's life. It's changed everything because I got educated. And so what we're going to do now, so we understand dollar cost averaging. Then what we want to do is we want to make sure that we have the proper perspective so you can remain calm, okay? So including downturns, the S&P 500's return over all, the mean return over all 10-year periods since 1937 was 10.4%. How about that? All right? So I want you to think through that, okay? You're looking and you're saying, okay, I'm looking at some of these periods and I'm like, okay, what is the average return during this time? All right. And guys, it's good. So if you know that, and also you understand that the pandemic is not the first time the market dropped. It does it every 5 or 6 years. And you know what it ends up doing? It comes back. So what we do is we go in and we say, all right, now that we know that, we're going to do asset allocation. That's what we're doing, okay? We're going to do asset allocation, and we're going to get our money diversified across different types of asset classes, like stocks, bonds, and cash. If you do want real estate, you can always do what we talked about in a previous show. You could buy a REIT. You know, that's like a mutual fund that professionally manages real estate, if you want to do that. Or you could buy your own rental properties and understand it's a business. But anyway, we're diversifying. We get asset allocation, and the asset allocation will change as time goes on. So for instance, if you're working, I always tell people, if you have an income, you tend to be less concerned about market fluctuations because you're not using the money. All right. But when you retire and your only income you're dependent on is the money you've saved, you then tend to be more concerned about volatility. So you tend to typically will back your investments down to where you have less aggressive. Now, in many cases, I've run into clients where they've done a great job with their money. And we break it up. We say, well, you've got $3 million. You're never going to spend it. This money is just going to go to the next generation. So as a result of that, what we'll do is we're going to set aside money for you, and we're going to take and put the volatility, take it off the table, do all that kind of stuff. And then we're going to set aside the rest of it for your children in the way, and not in the by moving that money to the children, possibly moving some, but more than anything, saying, look at their time horizon when they need it. So as an example, my mother is going to be 98 years old. They retired at 60. Can you imagine that? Been retired 38 years, and fortunately for my family, my dad did well and saved a lot of money, bought a bunch of rental properties, and then as he got older, and I got in the business about the time that he retired, we started putting money in investments, and as a result of that, my mother's never had to worry about a thing. My dad passed away when he was 89, and never had to worry about a thing when it comes to money. So we have been investing that money because there's more than enough for my mother. We've been investing it as if it's for the kids. How about that? And even the grandkids. And so we took an asset allocation model that would be more aggressive than if it was the money that we were just living on. And so what happens is we create asset allocation. Now, how do you create it? There's five things that you look at in creating asset allocation. The first one is the time horizon in which you're going to use the money. So if the money's coming sooner rather than later, then you might back it down a little bit. For instance, if you have children that you've been using for, same for college funds, if they're getting ready to go, you don't want the market to drop immediately. The second part is risk. All right. What kind of tolerance are you able to take? All right. Number three is diversification. How do we create asset allocation? Do we have it all in stocks, all in bonds? Do we have it in international funds? Do we have it in small caps, large caps, all these different things? And we pick our investment choices after that. So, well, which fund group, you know, which manager are we going to choose? All right. And then the last thing is rebalancing. So rebalancing is let's reallocate on a yearly basis or so. That's why I recommend, you know, I have an ongoing deal to where I tell people, look, let's meet once a year, or at least talk on the phone, and then that way we can see, or we put it into something that automatically rebalances. I've got a lot of accounts where I set the automatic rebalance, and unless something changes in their time horizon, say they get closer to retirement or they don't need the money, whatever it may be, then we can put it on autopilot. And it's interesting, you know, I talk to my clients and they're like, hey, what's going on? So, well, hey, everything's fine. I mean, we set it up for the long haul. It's looking good. Nothing's changed. Your situation really hadn't changed. And unless your situation's changed, we don't need to change. So what we're going to do, we're going to wind down this portion. So I want to, if you're taking notes in developing your asset allocation model, time horizon is the first thing, risk that you're willing to take, diversification, all right, is the third one. Once we get that, we got our time horizon, when do we need it, the risk we're willing to take, the diversification we need to do. And then once we have that, we then say, where are we going to put it? That's where you meet with a financial advisor, or if you think you can do it on your own, do the research. Most people prefer to get someone to help them. That's what I do. We then, and this all holds true, like with your 401k as an example. So then we choose the investments, and then we put it on an automatic rebalancing program where the allocations are correct and things like that. And so hope you've enjoyed the show. What I do for people and what my company does is help people make good choices with their money. We believe in educating, not selling you. And if you would like some help, here's how you get it. Go to RoyMatlockJr.com. You can download any of our free resources. You can also request an appointment or a phone call with an advisor, as well as our podcast, where you can call 615-843-2999. We'll talk to you next week.